So good to have you in the house for our midweek worship service, and I pray that you're having a great week. And Father, we just ask now that you, through your Holy Spirit, would speak to us tonight. May your truth find a resting place deep in our spirit and in our hearts. May we become more and more rooted in our blessed Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there an area in your life that you seem to struggle to be able to overcome? It's like you just can't push through it or can't get beyond it. Is there times when your buttons are pushed and it's like your mind is just immediately flooded with negative thoughts, destructive thoughts, sinful thoughts? Is there sometimes a cause or something happens and you're like, well, here I go again? Because it's like a reoccurring thing. And you find yourself battling the same old battle over and over and over again. If so, it might just be that you have a stronghold in your life. And I want to minister tonight concerning discerning a stronghold in your life. Here's our foundational text for this teaching. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity in obedience to the obedience of Christ." Now, Paul covers a lot of territory in those two verses, and I'm going to get into what I believe are some important truths from this verse tonight. And my heart would be, and I believe the goal of this teaching would be, for us to leave more free than we are right now. And for those who may have a stronghold in your life, for you to discern that and deal with that and grow on. Amen? So, first of all, the question, what is a stronghold? Notice that word is seen there in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 10, where it talks about, Paul says, pulling down strongholds. That literally means a fortress. Now, had you been a Corinthian that had received this letter from Paul, that is, a believer who lived in Corinth, and you read this part of his letter, it would have made a lot of sense to you. Because in the city of Corinth, there was what was known as the Acropolis. 1,900 feet it rose above the city. And it was huge. It was a fortress for people to run into and be protected in the event of invading enemies. A place where military personnel would be found. But also, in this Acropolis was the temple made to worship Aphrodite, one of their pagan goddesses. So, the stronghold would have been a fortress. And for them, it was a place of war, things concerning warfare, military operations, but also spiritual things. The temple was there. So Paul's using this language that they would be familiar with, and he's also, to understand the context of this, he is being accused by teachers who were coming into Corinth. Now, Paul, planted the church at Corinth. He introduced them to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was, if you will, their father in the faith, an apostle of the Lord Jesus, but yet other teachers came in claiming to be super apostles, and they were accusing, blaming, shaming Paul, trying to belittle him, said, oh, he writes bold, strong letters. But face to face, he's a weakling. He's a wimp. And Paul's letting them know, listen, the way I war is not the way they war. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. And then he talks about the strongholds, arguments, thoughts, and we'll talk about that as we move into this message. So I wanted to share that. Now, to apply it to tonight and also to their understanding that a walled-in area, a stronghold would be here described as a fortress constructed in the mind that hinders you in your walk with God. And I want to share a couple of statements made by a dear brother in Christ. His name was Bill French. He operated out of Birmingham, Alabama. He was a Methodist that became spirit-filled. And when I met him, he was probably in his mid-70s. He actually carried me with him to Africa on a mission trip one time, and we spent 10 days together. But when I was first filled with the Spirit, I would make regular trips to Birmingham, particularly on, I think then it was like a Tuesday, and he would be teaching. He became very well known for deliverance. He had well-known people, celebrities, people would come from across the country to receive ministry from Bill French. He and his son Michael wrote a book called The Remedy. In that book, Bill says this. He says, a stronghold is an area in a believer's life that has been surrendered to habitual sin. Wow. Habitual sin. So that idea of there's something you can't seem to overcome, to move past, let go of, something that triggers you for thoughts to overrun you, overwhelm you, and so forth, thoughts that are not healthy or whole. This is the idea. Now, let's also see that he said this. There is a clear difference, and this is really important. And let me tell you why it's really important. Particularly in the area of deliverance ministry, we don't need to always just assume if somebody's having a trouble that there's a demon involved. And sometimes in deliverance ministry, particularly when people are new to it and just begin, it's real easy just to see a demon in everything. But there are carnal strongholds. You don't need a devil anywhere within 100 acres of you to sin. You have a fallen nature. So he says this, there's a clear difference between habitual sin that has established a carnal stronghold and an uncontrollable demonic strong man that has set up resistance in or around an individual. And Brother Bill taught me this, that habitual sin opens up gateways for the enemy to begin to operate. And so it's important. Not every time we're dealing with somebody that's got a struggle do we need to do deliverance. Because we are more than capable, without the devil's help, of committing sin. And you can't cast out a person's flesh. You can't cast out their fallen nature. Part of discipleship is learning to study the Word of God and by faith believe the promises of God and begin to obey the Word of God. And then your mind begins to be transformed and changed. And you learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. You begin to have the fruit of the Spirit produced in your life. You begin to mature in your faith. Now, I believe in deliverance ministry. I have ministered to hundreds and hundreds of people in the area of deliverance. And I've had some bizarre things happen. And I'm always, my radar is always up, because the Holy Spirit will sometimes tell you this is, there's more going on here than this beyond this person's carnal weaknesses. And I like the way Bill describes it, habitual sin, where you've surrendered. And here's the key. A lot of times you can tell if it's a demonic thing when the sin is occurring without, basically, you don't even think about it anymore. And that's an indicator that maybe you've yielded so much that there's you're getting an infernal, if you will, demonic aid in doing things that are displeasing to God. So this message, at the end, you know, yes, there's sometimes there's need for deliverance. But a lot of times it's learning how to use the truth of God, the Word of God, and to do warfare in the Spirit with the sword of the Spirit and prayer combining. Ephesians 6 is very clear about this. So I just wanted to make those statements right up front. Now let's jump into this, and I'm going to cover four areas, and you could put more than this, but these cover a lot of territory. We're going to talk about the mind. We're going to talk about your emotions. We're going to talk about beliefs, and we're going to talk about behaviors. Because these are areas where strongholds can be developed in our life. The first one is the mind. And we'll call this one the stronghold of toxic thoughts. When in your mind, just these, you are pummeled with these thoughts, negative thoughts. They can be rooted, as I preached on Sunday, like a root of bitterness. It can be unforgiveness. It can be lust. It can be anger. It can be depression. It can be a lot of things. But notice the reason we're saying the mind here, he talks about arguments. He uses the term every thought. He says it's against the knowledge, what you know of God. So this is about warfare in the mind. A lot of our warfare is between our ears and the mind. And that's the reason Paul in Romans chapter 12 calls us to renew our minds. We're to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord, all in for the Lord. Lord, teach me. Lord, train me. Lord, show me. Lord, lead me. And so that our minds can be renewed, the mind. So here's a couple of things to consider. You need to discern your self-talk and what I'm going to call mental loops. Now, if you watch podcasts or listen to podcasts, most of our devices have a little thing that has a loop. And that means what? It'll just, when it gets to the end, it'll repeat. It'll just play over and over and over and over again. One sign of a stronghold is our negative self-talk or the obsessive thing where it just keeps coming. You can't get it out of your head. It could be that a stronghold has been established in your mind, and different things can cause that. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Another thing is to identify historic patterns when it comes to your thinking. For example, if, say, somebody criticizes you, or let's say you do something that you wish you hadn't have done, and as soon as you do it, you always hear, like, you knew you were going to fail. You knew you weren't going to be able to do that. You always do this. You're just not able to do better than this. And that self-talk, it's like it comes in loud and clear in your head and over again. And the historic, it's like historically, that's what it works. All of us, at times, we have thoughts that come and pummel our minds. You know, the enemy tempted Jesus, and it said the devil left him for a season. So we have seasons when we're not being bothered with things, and then there's seasons when maybe there's more assault coming at us. But the enemy works through our energized flesh. When it is sin, when we commit sin, it energizes our flesh. It attracts the enemy. Be angry and sin not. Why? Lest you give ground to the devil. That's what Paul taught to the Ephesians, that in that process we can literally give up ground, which means you have to reclaim that. And so identify those historic patterns, and sometimes it may go beyond you. Like there's certain things that you see repetitively happening in family lines, like alcoholism. Sometimes suicide is repeated in family lines. Certain types of addictions, fornication, those kind of things, there can be a repeated pattern historically in a family line. And I'm simply saying that you may have a struggle and you're aware, well, you know, my mom or my dad or even my granddad or my grandmom or my brother, you see this. And it can be an area where a stronghold has happened in your mind. What always shows up to trip you up? Is there something that's just recurringly? It's like, as I mentioned in beginning tonight, it's like you find yourself having to battle the same old thing over and over again. And as I'll talk about in the end, you may need some very focused prayer and get some very specific scriptures and really go to war and pull those things down. And there are occasions when you may need to even have some deliverance ministry. But I would encourage you not to start with that as a first step, because all of us need in our discipleship to learn how to use the Spirit and the Word. You know, and I sometimes when we've maybe had a very powerful deliverance, and then 3 months later we feel like we need another one, it may be because we're really not doing the obedient steps of being discipled, getting in the Word and learning to pray, stand our ground against the enemy. And that is a call for all of us. Jesus commanded the church to make disciples of all the nations. And he told them specifically what to do. You teach them to do what I've taught you to do. And I'm going to be with you until I return. That's basically what he said. So the mind is a really important area. Now let's take a moment and talk about the emotions. And this is the stronghold of chronic feelings. We're not talking about temporary emotions. You know, something bad happens and you're upset for a little bit. No, I'm talking about, again, we're talking about habitual things, a chronically feeling down, depressed, etc. Paul talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And remember, it's our carnal nature, our fallen nature. The Bible's very clear that our fallen nature is in enmity toward God. And you can't spruce up the old man. It's like putting a new suit on a corpse. You can't do that. Your old man is fleshly, energized by sin, and leads to death. So that's carnal. And our emotions can get rooted in carnal behavior or sinful behavior and become established in our life. There's a difference in having a bad day or a sad day, and kind of what I was talking about Sunday about the dilemma of double drama, that, you know, you've got a situation or problem. How you respond to that can cause you to have more problems. Similarly, these emotions, if we keep embracing them, opening a door and yielding to these wrong emotions, you know, you say depression or some type of oppressive feeling, or it can be jealousy, coveting. Those kinds of things can become established. Here's the question, statement that I want to share with you. God created emotions to be indicators, not dictators. Sunday, when I shared with you, I said emotions, they make good servants, but they're terrible masters. It's a similar idea. Our emotions can indicate Well, if we're sad, well, something must have happened to make us sad. Oh, if we're celebrative, hey, I just got baptized. You know, there's a reason for celebrating. They indicate maybe things that are going on in the environment around us, but they're not to be dictators. We're not to be enslaved by wrong emotions. Have you noticed a shift, when I'm talking about emotionally, from the temporary to the permanent? In other words, again, something may happen and you're really excited. Or something happened and you seem to be down. But then tomorrow you're still down. And next week and then the month after next, it's like become permanent. And I'll use the same one I used Sunday about bitterness. It just takes over your life. Think of it like the weather and it's a rainy day. The rain's coming down. Well, that's good. It could even be good for the soil, good for the plants and everything. But what if emotionally it wasn't just a rainy day, but like it's going on so long, you've just got this gray, black cloud over you all the time. Even when wonderful things are happening around you, you can't celebrate anymore because it's become permanent. It's chronic. It's a stronghold. And I'm not talking about, like grief can be extended over a period of time, but that there are times when even the time to grieve comes to an end. Not that you ever get past missing someone or even having pain, but I'm talking about that dark cloud that you can't step into life again. You can't celebrate. You can't connect. The emotions are very powerful elements of our being. And again, let's use them for indicators, but not dictators. When they start commanding and controlling us, then that's a problem. That's a problem. Let me share a story with you. This was a number of years ago. I was contacted by a lady, a believer. She said, I've got a lady that I know somewhat, but she's just in bad shape. And she gave me a thumbnail sketch. She said, listen, she has basically isolated herself from other people for quite a while now. This has been going on a few years. Now she's got all her curtains closed. She doesn't turn the lights on. She lives in a dark house. She's married, but when her husband's not there, lights off and all that kind of stuff. And said she's just like she's heavily depressed and she's not functioning. She don't want to go outside. She doesn't want to go anywhere. She doesn't want to talk to anybody. She said, I've been trying to connect with her, and I've been asking her, would she allow someone to pray for her? And I think I've got her talked into it. Would you be willing to meet and pray with her? And I said, well, sure I will. And so we set up the next day. She was to bring her in, and she brought her in the next mid-morning. And I had prayed that night and that earlier that day. I'd been praying. When I was praying for this woman, whom I'd never met to my knowledge, the Lord showed me, all he showed me is just real graphic in my mind. Boom, there was a black widow spider. And when I saw that spider, and I'll tell this story in my book out there on the dealing with demons, so some of you may have heard it that way, but as soon as I saw that spider, it's just like I had a knowledge that she had been struggling with thoughts about killing her husband. And so when she came in the next day, we introduced ourselves, she sat down, and I said, well, and I said a prayer just to start, and I said, I want to share something with you that I feel like the Lord has shown me, and you can tell me if this is true or not. You've been struggling with terrible thoughts, haven't you? She shook her head. I said, you've been hearing a voice telling you to kill your husband. She went back, how did you know that? I said, well, the Lord told me. We began talking, and there was some root issues that were uncovered. And, you know, within 30 minutes, I led her through a number of prayers, renouncing some things. I literally led her through some deliverance ministry. And that woman, right before our eyes, changed into a different woman. Her countenance changed. Her eyes had light back in them again. And it was amazing. To conclude that story, that was like, a Wednesday or something like that. The following Sunday morning, I look back, and there she is in our worship service. And there's a man sitting by her. After the service, they come up to the front. He said, "I want to meet you. I wanted to meet you because after you prayed for my wife, she came home a new wife for me." They went out to eat. They'd been going out and doing things. It was broken off of her. She really had a deep and dark embedded stronghold in her life because of some lies that she had been believing, because of some things that had happened. But the Lord poured in His healing oil. He broke that bondage, and that stronghold came down. It can make a great, great difference in a person's life to see these strongholds broken. Now, are you reacting out of an unhealed area of pain in your life? Because particularly in the area of our emotions, a lot of times, like if it's some oppressive or possessive or depressive type thing, you can end up with a stronghold in that area. And another question is your response proportionally to what's going on? Sometimes it may be a little small something, but your reaction's a real big something. Something else is going on when that's happening. In other words, you got a nickel problem, but you're reacting like it's a $5 problem. That's not proportional. You know, it's expected maybe for our response to be proportional to what's going on. But like, it's like magnified. That's usually wrong. We're thinking wrongly. We're believing something wrongly. Are the enemies up to something? So important for us to understand this. So our emotions is another area. Now, in the third area I want to talk about, because I got to move on quickly here, wrong beliefs. What you believe matters. And this is a big one. This can be in people's life that most of their life they very straight laced, everything's in order, particularly when it comes to spiritual things. I personally believe people that are blinded to like the gifts of the Spirit, that's a stronghold. There's a filter there in the way. It's like there's a fortress of thought, an argument that's been established in their mind that I believe is exalting itself upon what the Word of God clearly teaches. And that's true in a lot of different beliefs out there. It's so important that we're rooted and grounded, and we need to be cleansed of these filters in our mind. We call it the stronghold of the broken lens. Something's just not right there. Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Our weapons are rooted in the supernatural. They're rooted in what God's Word says. It just makes sense that the enemy would want to blind and bind people from some of the weapons that God makes available for us to win our battles. For instance, praying in the Spirit. For instance, the gift of a miracle. I have seen so many healings happen because God gave a word of knowledge that person knew there's no way that you could know that in the natural. This must be God. And their faith is elevated, and they're able to believe and receive what God wants to do in their life. But if you toss all that out because of a theological filter that blocks you from seeing that in the Word, then you know, you got one of your arms tied behind your back spiritually when it comes to warfare. It's so important for us to understand this. You must discern the lies you believe about God, about others, and yourself. Particularly those three areas. Like, if something goes wrong, you feel like God's mad at you, that He's trying to punish you, He's out to get you. That may be a lie that you're believing. You can't see him as a loving father who's for you and not against you. Because of that lie you're believing. Maybe it's how you were taught in church or what you were taught at home. But that lie is causing you to misinterpret who he is, which causes you to miss what he wants to give you. Beliefs about yourself, going back to what I mentioned earlier. Well, I knew I was going to fail. I always fail. You know, it's that kind of stuff going on in you. You're not believing what the Word says about who you are. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are an overcomer through Christ. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That's your true identity. But if you're believing the lies, well, it works for other people, but it doesn't work for you because you've been too sinful. You've done too much dark stuff. You dabbled in this occult over here, or you know that you used to party and do drugs and sleep with every other person you met. All that junk the enemy will throw at you, accuse you, get you believing it, and then he'll come and condemn you for doing what he's led you to do and believing what he's led you to believe. This is the stronghold of wrong beliefs. And about others, sometimes you may put a wall up towards someone because of some rumor you heard. It may not even be true. Or maybe it was true, but they've repented and they've been restored. But you refuse to see what God's done, or you refuse to seek out what's true. You have believed a lie, and now that lie has caused your heart to be walled off toward that person. So we have to have Holy Spirit help to filter all this stuff out. So we need to identify where we feel most hopeless and ask yourself the question, what lie am I believing about God's goodness or my identity in this specific area? Most of the time, it's one of those two areas. What am I getting wrong about who God is? What am I getting wrong about what God's Word says about who I am in Christ? Because the more you learn about who you are in Christ, and the more you get to know who he really is, wow, things really start changing. When you believe that, when you know it's truth, and you begin gravitating toward it, embracing it, and obeying it, you begin to be changed. So obviously there's going to be warfare against you doing that. And those lies come, and it can create a stronghold. Now, that's what it looks like. If you had rose-colored glasses on, see how it affects what you're able to see? That's what happens when you're not seeing clearly, and this is what happens when you are. That filter keeps you from seeing what's there. Now, I know there's several. I know Pastor Larry would agree with me and probably Pastor Gary. For years, we would read the Scripture, and the stuff that we believe with all our heart now and preach with passion, didn't even see it. Why? Because of the theological filters that had been built into our life by maybe the people that taught us, the commentaries that we read, the show that we listened to, the podcast we listened to, But it's the continuing in his word. You know what's true, and that truth makes you free. So you begin to see what you couldn't see before, hear what you couldn't hear before, know what you couldn't know before, and you're transformed in a way you were not before. So what you believe matters. What you believe begins to affect how you behave, and that brings us to the fourth area, our behaviors. This is just basically having the toxic thinking, having the controlling emotions, and having believing lies. What's that look like when it manifests? It manifests in the way we behave, how we act. So that's another area. You can see the stronghold is in the way you act. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not to behave carnally. We're to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, we're to guard our thoughts, and it will change how we behave. We get our belief right, then our behavior will begin to come in line with that. Like if you are convinced, let's see, say you're convinced, it's fine to watch pornography. That's no big deal. God made human bodies. They're beautiful. Yeah, nothing. And you believe that, then you're going to do it. But when you realize, no, because that awakens lust, it violates commitments you've made to your spouse if you're married, and a long list of other things that I won't get into, but when you realize I've been believing a lie, then you're more prone to stop it, and that stronghold can be dealt with. Behaviors. The stronghold of coping mechanisms, and this is where it begins to show up. Areas where obsessive behavior or depressive or possessive, controlling. Fear will manifest. Anger will manifest outwardly. Bitterness will manifest. All these things. And the idea of the coping mechanisms, in other words, when the stress is on or the crisis comes or you're being disturbed in some way, what do you look to for comfort? Some people, they try to find comfort in the bottom of that bottle or in a bottle. Some want to pop a pill. Some may want to smoke some weed. And some of us may find a lot of comfort visiting the refrigerator very frequently. To cope, we even call it comfort food. I'm guilty of that time. I'm not feeling good. I'm going to treat myself. And then I'll go eat I won't get into that. I'll talk to the Lord about that. But what do you go to for your comfort, to find peace? Because we should go to the Prince of Peace. We should go to the God of all comfort. Is there an addiction issue? It's no longer a choice. You made choices to do something you shouldn't do, and now those choices have made you, and you've lost the power of choice. There's a stronghold, maybe even a demonic stronghold, like something else is controlling you. And I've seen this. I've seen this come on people praying in deliverance where you're talking to them, then all of a sudden there's another force, there's another power, another personality that begins to manifest. It begins to manifest. And you have to deal with that. But again, it doesn't have to be demonic. It can be a carnal stronghold. And the Lord's requiring you to learn how to use the Word, the sword of the Spirit, to learn how to pray, to learn how to fast sometimes, to deal with these things in the Spirit. Because it has to be supernatural. I want to move on in because of time. I've got to just dismantle it. This is very self-explanatory. Number one, ask for God's supernatural help to dismantle the stronghold. Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. It's spiritual and it's supernatural to deal with the stronghold. Confession of sin and repentance is needed. Lord, I'm struggling with this bitterness. I need help. Give me grace. By faith, come into agreement with the truth of God's Word. That is so important. And then you study, read, pray, and declare the Scriptures to transform your mind. This is dealing with these carnal strongholds, whether it's the mind, the emotions, wrong beliefs, addictions, wrong behaviors, wrong coping mechanisms. Those can all be very strong carnal strongholds. And I don't have time to get into if it's a demonic stronghold and deliverance. You want to do some of these same things, but that person needs to renounce that behavior. They need to be willing to change. And through the authority that we are given in Christ, that thing can not only be pulled down, and not only can arguments be cast aside, but the demonic influence can be remedied, can be cast out. Demons are real. Deliverance is part of the ministry of the church. And we need to be trained and have discernment in dealing with people and with these strongholds, even the carnal ones, and then particularly the demonic ones. So much more to it. My time is up, and I just encourage you to discern in your life, is there an area that you just hadn't been able to overcome again? Is there something you haven't been able to push past? Is there some recurring thing that's the same battle over and over again? It's like you haven't been able to get liberated from it. Are you praying? Are you asking God for His grace? Are you getting scriptures and using them as your ammunition? That's what Jesus did when the enemy came and tempted Him. He used God's Word. Praying, using the Word of God. Sometimes the gifts of the Spirit may be needed to help in some way. Discerning of spirits, particularly in deliverance ministry, very important. These are all things that are involved in being able to deal with these strongholds. So would you stand with me tonight? And, I hope I've shared enough to be helpful. There's so much more to it than this. But if you don't remember anything else, and I'm not saying that you won't, but please take this with you. You cannot overestimate the importance of reading and studying God's Word and learning to use it to overcome whatever you're going through in your life. And you cannot overestimate the power of going into God's throne room, knowing who you are in Christ, and receiving grace and mercy to help you in your time of need. He wants you free from this stronghold. He wants it pulled down. He will help you. He is not a man that he should lie. You are not helpless, child of God. You've got the Spirit. You've got the Word. You've got authority. You've got the access. Use it in Jesus' name. Father God, seal these truths in our hearts tonight. Help us to meditate on them. Lord, help us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, standing our ground, not yielding to the enemy, not yielding to the pressures of the world, not yielding to sin, but standing armored with the armor of righteousness, using the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty through God. Father, help us to be trained, armed, and ready to live the victory that Christ has secured for us on the cross. Our prayer team members are going to be here at the front. If you need prayer tonight, I encourage you to come and receive ministry. And I pray that you'd go to war on any strongholds that may be in your life. In Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord a hand for His Word? These are here to pray with you. Feel free to come. Avail yourself to the opportunity to receive ministry if the Lord's speaking to you. Perhaps there's someone here you've never trusted Christ. Oh, how we would love to talk to you about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved. Thanks for being here. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Invite a friend to come back. This Sunday is Father's Day, and our granddaddy pastor, Pastor Doc, is going to be preaching Why You Need a Daddy. It's going to be a blessing to you. God bless you.
Your mercy goes much deeper. Your grace is rescues me. Your mercy goes much deeper. Farther than I can see. Your mercy goes much deeper. Your grace is rescues. Your mercy goes much deeper, farther than I can see.
Farther than I can see. Farther than I.